Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's 11 o'clock and it's the 6th of August 2018 and the weather is back. We've got a heatwave back, certainly in Kent at the moment anyway, and long may it last. So good morning, my name's Neil De Silva. I'm the host of the Health Matters Radio Show and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. In a few moments we're going to be having a chat about astaxanthin, which is one of the most powerful antioxidants that most people have never heard of. Later in the show, we're also going to be talking about high blood pressure and why high blood pressure is so dangerous, and also how you can deal with it if you do have high blood pressure. And we've also got a special guest on this morning. We have Karen Jones. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Neil.
How are you this morning?
I'm really good, thank you.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
And we're going to be finding out more about what Karen does and how she may be able to help you in about 20 minutes or so. The show's Facebook page, if you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook page there and you can interact with me. And also on Twitter, the Twitter handle is @HealthRadioShow. And again, you can drop me a tweet if you'd like a shout out or a mention on air this morning. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me via my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So before we crack on with the show, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered, and to help educate and inform you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics discussed. The Health Matters Radio Show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Right, so now that's out of the way, we're going to have a chat about antioxidants. Most people have heard of antioxidants, so vitamin C and also vitamin D, but they don't really know what antioxidants are or what they do. So, what are antioxidants? Antioxidants are compounds found in food that stop or delay damage to cells. So, basically, they help ward off cell damage. Now, some of that cell damage or some of those waste products that are in our cells are as a result of our lifestyle. So, if we smoke a lot, or if we drink lots of alcohol, or we eat lots of processed foods, then that waste, those waste products are going to be quite prevalent in our cells. But also it can be as a result of simply getting older. And these waste products are called free radicals. Again, people have heard of free radicals, but they don't necessarily know what they are. And free radicals are compounds that are highly reactive and they attach to compounds in our cells and they can damage our normal body cells. And they can also do damage to our DNA as well. And free radicals are a leading cause of cancer development. So it's quite serious. So we've all got free radicals. If you can imagine, if you leave a piece of metal out in the rain, a piece of steel, unprotected steel, it will go rusty. That's oxidation. So we have oxidation as a natural part of cell metabolism. But what we need to do is find ways to control it, and to look at things like antioxidants to help reduce these free radicals in our body. Now, the body does have built-in defences. It uses antioxidants that we find naturally in our food, but our food is often very deficient in things like nutrients and vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. And sometimes you need to look at supplementation to actually boost your level of antioxidants. So astaxanthin itself, astaxanthin, and I'll spell it for you, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. Astaxanthin is a carotenoid. So it's a pigment that's found in certain marine plants and certain marine animals and algae. And these carotenoid pigments, they play an important part in the health of the plant itself or the organism itself. And then we eat those plants or we eat those algae or we eat the food or the, you know, for example, the fish that's eaten the algae. And then we get those health benefits of those carotenoids as well. So astaxanthin is recognized as being one of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature. And in fact, I think it's about 6,000 times more powerful than vitamin C. And one of the great things about astaxanthin is it never becomes a pro-oxidant. So vitamin C as an antioxidant can actually cause oxidation if taken in excessive amounts. But astaxanthin never becomes a pro-oxidant, so it makes it incredibly powerful. So as I mentioned, the body is reliant on these antioxidants to deliver a healthful balance to your life and to your cells, and it also helps to heal damaged cellular structures. And antioxidants fight this process of oxidation. And what they do is they scavenge around and they bind themselves to these free radicals. So if these free radicals are moving around in the body and inside your cells, and they try to bind themselves to molecules in your body cells. So what antioxidants do is they bind themselves to the free radical first to prevent the free radical then binding onto your cells. And by scavenging them, they neutralize them and they stop these free radicals causing damage. Astaxanthin as an antioxidant is bioavailable throughout the whole body. And interestingly, there's some great research about astaxanthin and neurological diseases. For example, dementia and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and those sorts of things. Because astaxanthin is the only antioxidant that crosses or that can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's incredibly powerful. It's also good for your skin. It's good for your muscles. It's good for your eyes. It's good for your cardiovascular system. It's good for your nervous system. It's also good for your internal organs as well. So astaxanthin is incredibly powerful. So as I mentioned, when compared to vitamin C, it's about 6,000 times more powerful than vitamin C. It's around 500 times more powerful than vitamin E. And there is a super antioxidant that people might have heard of called coenzyme Q10. And astaxanthin is around 800 times more powerful than coenzyme Q10. So if you're into your supplementation and you're into your antioxidants, you certainly recognize Q10. And as I said, astaxanthin is much more powerful. So as I mentioned, it also helps with eye health. So it can actually reduce the risk of cataracts. It can also give you increased UV light protection to the eye, which is quite interesting. It can improve your skin health, so it can help to improve moisture levels in your skin. It can also improve elasticity and smoothness, which also then helps reduce things like wrinkles as you get older, and also freckles and spots as well. And also, astaxanthin is a great natural anti-inflammatory. So you can buy prescription analgesics, but they would often have side effects, things like gastrointestinal ulcers, or they can become quite addictive, or they can cause acid reflux or heartburn. Astaxanthin has these natural anti-inflammatory properties, but without the side effects. And for those of you that exercise a lot, there's some interesting research papers at the moment that show that astaxanthin can actually help combat fatigue, and it can help you to increase strength and also improve recovery from exercise. Some other benefits of astaxanthin include helping to boost your immune system. If you're a diabetic, a type 2 diabetic, it can help to help you to manage your blood sugars and help you to reduce your blood sugars down as well. So it improves heart health and cardiovascular health. It prevents, as I mentioned, cell damage from oxidation, and it can also help the nervous system as well. And as I've already mentioned, it can help protect the brain by providing antioxidants that get across the blood-brain barrier. So where can you find antioxidants from? So one of the key concentrations of antioxidants is found in sockeye salmon. And actually, it's the It's the astaxanthin that the salmon eat that make them pink, because astaxanthin is a carotenoid that's kind of red in colour. It's also the antioxidant that makes pink flamingos pink as well, because they eat things like algae and they eat things like shrimp. The shrimp and the algae, that they have the astaxanthin in them. So things like lobsters, as I mentioned, salmon, Arctic shrimp, crab, red trout, all those are good sources of astaxanthin. The problem is you'd need to eat quite a lot of these to be able to get the required amount, which is around 8 to 12 milligrams a day. So then supplementation can be looked at. So if you're going to go for supplementation and you can get them in health food shops, you need to look for the pure and natural varieties. Perhaps buy the most expensive that you can afford, because generally speaking, the higher the cost, the better the quality. And you need to make sure that these are created from marine microalgae. Some are synthetic, and synthetic astaxanthin is not as effective as natural astaxanthin. And make sure that you take it with a meal, because it's fat soluble. Like vitamin D, like vitamin A, like vitamin E, like vitamin K, if you consume fat-soluble vitamins and supplementation, you need to make sure you have fat at the same time to help it be absorbed. So there you go, astaxanthin, a really powerful antioxidant. Most people have never heard of it. If you're looking at ways to improve your general health, certainly you might want to consider doing your own research. I take it every day. I have done for a few years now. I was quite surprised how many people have never heard of it. So astaxanthin, do your own research, have a look into it and see what you think. Okay, so after the break, we're gonna interview my special guest this morning, Karen Jones. But before that, we have a great song by David Bowie, and it's Modern Love.
I know when to go out, I know when to stay in, get things done. We'll be right back.
That was David Bowie and Modern Love. Just to quickly mention the show's Facebook page is, if you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, you can interact with me on Facebook and on Twitter at Health Radio Show. We'll get you to the show's Twitter feed, and you can drop me a tweet if you'd like a shout out or a mention, or if you've got any subjects you'd like me to discuss or cover in future shows. And as normal, you can find me, if you'd like to contact me directly, via my website, which is at www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So now we come on to our special guest interview, and I have with me this morning Karen Jones. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning there.
It's fantastic to have you on the show this morning. And you are from Happy You, Happy Body.
Yes, that's my book and my business.
Fantastic. So as we go through the interview, we're going to find out more about Karen's background, her journey to where she is now, and we're going to find out more about Happy You, Happy Body, what it means, and also what it can mean to you as well. So, Karen, let's start with the basics. What's your background? How did you get into doing what you're doing? What's been your journey up to this point?
As a young mum, I had my first child at 16 years old. I put on the most weight. Then I put 4 stone on in weight over the pregnancy. And I took a look in at my body in the mirror, my post-baby body, and I realised, that I kind of hated my body. I hated the way it looked, and I wanted to lose this excess weight. So I didn't really know much better, and because I was living on my own with my son at the time, I ended up literally starving myself to lose this excess weight. Wow. Which... yeah, it took me a year, but it was quite a drastic way to lose that weight. I spent many years after that yo-yo dieting and never really found a diet that worked for me long term until the birth of my third and last child at the age of 36. I suffered from postnatal depression, and my health visitor said to me on a home visit that I had one of two options, that I could either go and see my doctor and be prescribed antidepressants or I could take up exercise, which was known to help. Okay. I chose exercise, thank God. And where I lived at the time, the nearest gym to me was a good 30 minutes drive away. So 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. And when you've got young children, time is, you need to do something that's time effective. So I asked myself the question, what could I take up that was on my doorstep? And the answer that came back to me was running.
Okay.
So I took up running. So I grabbed my trainers and off I went, and I started with a run walk. I taught myself, that if I kind of ran for a minute, I could walk for 5 minutes, and then over time I increased the running time, decreased the walking time, the resting time. And before I knew it, I was kind of up to like 20 minutes, then 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And that kind of took me about a year to get myself to that, going out a couple of times a week, sometimes taking the baby buggy out with me. And then I lost my granddad to cancer. And from losing my granddad, I felt myself going down again, getting depressed. I felt the same feelings I did from the postnatal depression. Yeah. So again, I was like, how can I turn these negative feelings into a positive? And I picked up a marathon magazine in a sports shop, and it said, if you can run comfortably now for half an hour, you're capable of running the marathon in April next year, which was kind of like around about seven months away. So I said to myself, I can do that. And I'm going to run for a cancer charity, and I'm going to raise money for cancer research. I lost my nan to cancer as well, so... yeah, I just knew that I wanted to do something that was positive. And from focusing on training to run the marathon, it definitely did help with the depression and also doing something, good. So after training and running the marathon, what I learned from running that marathon was, for the first time in my life at the age of 38, I not only had lost my excess baby weight healthily and kept it off, you know, I'd overcome my depression as well. So I could definitely feel that it had such a positive effect on me that I carried on and wanted to do that. So I carried on running after the marathon, kept up my healthy eating. 5 years later, my unhappy marriage came to an end and I had to go back to work. So I thought to myself, what would I love to do for the rest of my working career at the age of 44? And the answer that came back to me was fitness. I wanted to teach other mothers at home to become fit. I knew I didn't want to work in a gym. I wanted to go to people's houses and teach them.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
It's really interesting because I've had a lot of guests on the show since I first started it. And there is a common theme that runs through every guest that I've had on the show.
Yeah.
And it's their personal journey. What they've experienced has helped them to develop a new career and helped them to help other people.
Yeah.
And I think it's much more congruent when you're trying to help people where you've gone through similar experiences yourself.
Yeah, I think the best people to help others are the ones that have been through the most.
Yeah.
Because they've been there, they know other people's pains, that you get this empathy. And then when people are telling you what their problem is, you can see it, you can see the wood through the trees. When you're in it yourself, you can't see a way out. But somebody who's been through it, they know.
I also think knowing that, you know, if you're going to employ, be it a personal trainer or whoever, and knowing that they've been through the same journey,
yes,
and they can empathise and they can really feel, they also know the challenges that you're probably going to face at some point, and they can help you through those challenges because they've experienced those challenges themselves.
Yeah, I think, well, I have the most empathy with mums because obviously I've been an overweight mum. I know the challenges of looking after your family vs looking after yourself.
Mm.
And you often will put yourself at the bottom of the pile when really you have to be at the top, because that's when you can give your best to others. And although you might be tired, one of the biggest secrets in life is you've got to spend energy to get energy.
Yeah.
So taking up exercise and looking after yourself, you're then going to have all this energy, extra energy to look after your children better.
Yeah.
You know, and you're better equipped mentally, you're better equipped in your body. And also you've just got this, you know, happiness about you that you can then pass on to your children. You're also showing, you're leading by example, you're showing your children a better way of life, and they will then go on to follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many women out there that I'm sure can relate to your story. They've had children, they've gained obviously the baby weight, maybe they've had two or three children, the baby weight hasn't gone away, and you can see how that cycle of depression can build up, where perhaps they have yo-yo dieted, perhaps it's maybe worked in the short term, then they put the weight back on, and they kind of don't know where to turn. And I think having someone like you to talk to who's been through that journey, and obviously come out the other end, is incredibly encouraging for them to know that it can be done.
Well, I've been the same healthy weight now since 2006, so that's well good. Over a decade.
Yeah.
My weight has stayed the same. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and yet a lot of people put me a lot younger than what I am.
Yeah.
I won't put Botox and stuff into my face. I do facial exercises. I just eat healthily. I drink lots of water.
Proper food and good amounts of water.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian now, so even more so do I really look after, you know, watch what I eat.
Mm.
I'm conscious of feeding my body, not only for energy, but for nutrition-wise, to nourish my body, to keep my body well, to ward off illnesses. And touch wood, you know, I haven't had a cold for a couple of years. I've, you know, rarely get ill, and long may that continue.
So that step from, dare I say it, casual runner.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we would probably know as a 5K, you know, 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'd got myself up to that.
Go from someone that could comfortably do a 5K to doing what would, a rough calculation, 40K, 26 miles, about 40?
26.2 miles, exactly. Yeah,
about 40 kilometres. So to go from a couple of miles to 26 miles, how was that journey?
It was amazing, really. And when I think back to, like, I was running through the winter time. So when I first signed up for it, it was summertime.
Right.
Or coming towards the end of summer.
And you thought, this is a good idea.
Yeah, this is really good. oh, I could do this. And then when the winter hit and the snow was on the ground, and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to run in snow? And I had a couple of people who kindly said that I could use their treadmill and stuff like that. Okay. And there's always ways around it. And then there was the rain, and I'd be out sometimes and it'd be pouring down with rain, and then sometimes I'd be busting to go away, or, you know, normal stuff that happens when you're out for 2 or 3 hours at a time trying to run. You know, there was times when I thought I was never going to be able to get myself to where I wanted to be, but it's about mind over matter my end goal. There was no way, you know, even on a day, there was a time when I wanted to, I saw underground, you know, a station, and I thought, do you know what, I could just disappear now and no one would know. I thought, but they would, because I wouldn't have a medal at the end and I wouldn't get my, you know, the money.
I've often wondered that, sort of jump on the train, jump on the bus,
go home.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've run the marathon the once?
Yeah, just once.
Any plans to run it again, or was it, you know, once you've done it, kind of a
tick that box,
kind of a bucket list kind of thing? Yeah,
I think so. I always say never, and then because I did the bikini fitness contest a few years ago, mm-hmm. that was kind of right. I've done a marathon, what else can I do? And, you know, I really did enjoy doing the bikini fitness because I took it at my own pace. I was my own trainer.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of help towards the last 6 weeks of training, but I really love going at my own pace. And I'm a great motivator for myself anyway, so I stick to what I say that I'm going to do.
So for people out there that are looking, I mean, I'd argue that lots of people can't run 5K, which is a shame. And there's lots of good apps out there. I mean, we've got the Couch to 5K, haven't we, which is the NHS app, which obviously takes it in steps and helps you to build up to running 5K over, I think it's 90 days.
I've not looked at it myself, but I think if that's how long it is.
Yeah, I think it's 90 days. But there's quite a few people that do park runs, and most park runs are 5K, I think. So for people listening out there that can do 5K relatively comfortably, but think that maybe taking that big step to running the marathon is not possible, what advice could you give them? Where would they need to start from where they are at the moment running 5K to be able to run 26 miles?
Well, I could have done it differently. I did throw myself in, but I had very good reasons to do that. And I'm so glad that I did, because after doing a marathon, once you've ticked that box of doing the marathon, you feel like you're capable of doing anything. But in hindsight, I could have then gone for a 10K run. I have done a 10K run in the last few years for another charity. Mm-hmm. But then you can go to half marathons, which would have been a nice stepping stone. And then on to your marathon, you know, do a couple of half marathons and then go on to your marathon.
I mean, it would be great if someone's listening now thinking, right, I'll run the marathon next April.
Yeah.
But realistically, it's better, as you say, to maybe take steps towards being able to run a half marathon comfortably.
Yeah.
And then obviously, because it's, I know some people think it's easy to run a marathon. I mean, I can imagine it's almost sheer hell at points.
Well, I ran at least 21 miles of it, and then I powered walked the rest. I kind of, on the day, I decided not to take, you didn't have like the Apple phone at then. I had like this pedometer thing, and I decided not to take it on the day because I had my iPod on one arm and, you know, my sunglasses. I had loads of stuff on me. So I thought, no, that's one thing less for me to worry about. So I was just relying on the counters because it said it had 1 mile counters all the way round. But after a while you get delirious and you just haven't got a clue where you are. You haven't got a clue where you are in London. You haven't got a clue where you are, you know, as in terms of distance.
Yeah.
I just kept running and running and running. But what stopped me was that I was busting to go to the wee, and I had to find somewhere. I had to stop. I had to do my thing and then start again. But by that stage, my legs felt like lead. My knee was giving me problems, and I tried and I tried and I tried to keep running. But in the end, it was like, it was do or die. What am I going to do? So I said, power walk, just walk. And lots of people were walking by that stage.
Yeah.
And I just
lots of normal people. I know you have the hyper athletes out there that can do it in 2 hours and whatever minutes.
Yeah,
mine but was for most fine. Normal human beings, I think you get to a point where you just think, I'll just walk the rest.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to do it as quickly as I could. I did do it in 5 hours 20, but I learned one of my biggest life lessons crossing the line of the London Marathon. At 38 years old, I actually felt that I was really old, and that was because of the people that were around me were kind of talking about being old in your 30s and you were over the hill. The hill was coming, you were over it.
The big 4-0.
Yeah. And then I crossed the finish line. I congratulated the lady to the right of me, and she was in her early 70s, and it was her 18th marathon. So there was I, you know, feeling disappointed that I'd walked a bit and I'd crossed the finish line, and I was really down on myself. But this lady was so happy and so chuffed that she'd done this, you know, another marathon. And I just said to myself, if she feels really good at, you know, 70 plus years old, then it's just taught me that age is no restriction.
Yeah.
And that actually, you know, I feel really young now that I'm 50, younger than what I did when in my 30s.
Mm.
And when I hear young people like coming up to 30 saying, oh, I feel old now, I'm like, oh my God, you're a baby. You're just getting warmed up.
And it also goes to show that the only barriers that we have are the ones that we actually set ourselves.
In our minds. Yeah.
You know, and it really is a case of mind over matter.
Yeah, definitely. You
know, particularly when it comes to things like the marathon, which it is an amazing achievement. So well done on that.
Thank you.
I will just pick up on one thing you mentioned a bit earlier about your doctor. Got to say that your doctor is very progressive,
right.
and all credit to them, because you had a choice of going onto medication or changing your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'd argue that not every doctor would give that advice, perhaps.
It was a health visitor, actually.
A health visitor,
She did a questionnaire, and at the end of it, she said, you know, you even need to go and see your doctor to be prescribed antidepressants or take up exercise.
Yeah. And actually, had you chosen the other option, I would say we probably wouldn't be sitting here this morning, and your journey would have been very different.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of exercise, and I will be doing a TED talk at some point in the future talking about antidepressants and how, you know, they've doubled in the last 10 years of prescriptions. It's shocking. It's something like 31 million to 64 million prescriptions. And, you know, I think that they're just handed out too easy in some circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And also they have their own side effects as well, don't they?
Well, weight gain is one of them.
Weight 60%. Gain, which then causes more depression, so...
Yeah, it's like it's going to be a vicious circle. And from what I hear, a lot of people who go on them don't actually come off of them.
No, they are very, very addictive, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if there were moments in your life, I mean, I guess we can all look back at what I would call crossroads moments.
Yeah.
I would say that was one of yours, because you had a choice of going in one direction or the other. And obviously you chose the direction that you chose, which was the exercise, and it was for your own personal benefit.
Yeah.
But it's taking you to where you are now, not only with not only benefiting your own health, but also you're able now to help other people.
Yeah.
If you'd have gone the other route, I'd argue you would probably be stuck on antidepressants now. Who knows? So
I'm just so glad
one
that
of those
I didn't
moments
take,
quite thought provoking. Okay, so let's fast forward to where we are now. So in terms of what you're doing now, do you just want to explain just what services you offer and the ways that you can help people?
Well, I take boot camps now, so because I started at one-to-one training, I got really comfortable with that. Then I knew that I wanted to help people at one more than one at times. So it's like, how can I help more people? So I went into group fitness training and I became a boot camp instructor. That then led on to me doing power yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a power yoga teacher as well. I specialise in home fitness training because where I did the bikini fitness contest, I didn't touch a gym to get my body contest ready. I wanted to prove that you don't need a gym to get a good body. It's not that I'm against gyms. I'm not. Mm. I say that it's whatever works for you.
For the individual, yeah.
But there's so many people who will not go to a gym. So I wanted to show them that, well, actually, you can do all of this at home. You don't need to step outside your home to get a good body. You know, it'd be good if you can go outside to do the cardio, to do the power walking if you don't like running. There's always other, other alternatives. So I wanted to show people there's another alternative. There's a different way. If you don't want to go to the gym the conventional way, then you can do it at home, in your own home, in your own time. And it's so, you know, it for me, it was such an easier choice, especially with children.
Yeah.
To do it at home.
And obviously working with mums as well.
Yeah.
They have to work around their own commitments, and so going to a gym is not always practical.
Yeah.
And I think as well, some people, particularly if they've got health or weight issues, are quite...
they're self-conscious.
Quite self-conscious about going to a gym where there's, you know, beach bodies everywhere and, you know, muscle-bound men and women and people that are uber thin and uber fit.
Yeah.
You know, if
it
you are...
It can put you off.
It can.
And it can make you feel even more self-conscious. So yeah. I've even had it with a few clients and my younger daughter and myself when I was younger. Even when you're out on the road sometimes and you're kind of trying to run and stuff, you will get times when people shout odd things at the windows and stuff at you. It can be quite intimidating, but you've just got to think, well, I'm doing something for me and I mustn't care what other people think about me. This is about me. It's not about what others think.
And it's taking that responsibility, isn't it?
Yes.
Rather than making excuses why you can't do this or why you can't do that or why you get the aches and pains or why you're overweight or whatever it might be, it's actually saying, well, you know, I'm going to take
100% responsibility for my body and my fitness. Yeah. And then doing something about it, following through in what you say.
And we discussed accountability before the show.
We did.
And I'm a great believer in accountability, which is why I think a lot of people that try to exercise on their own struggle.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got anyone to kick their butt.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it, to actually push them, to take them to where they think they can go and then take them that bit further.
Yeah.
And obviously in the services that you offer, accountability and responsibility play a big part.
Yeah, because once you've signed up for something like a boot camp or power yoga and you've paid the money up front, then you've put your money where your mouth is. And then also you're working around similar people that have got similar ideas. I've always had the best experience working with other people that or being in fitness with other people because they're all of the same mindset.
Yeah.
They're just so focused on themselves, and it's a nice place to be.
So in terms of clients, you know, obviously we can't mention people by name unless we've got their express permission. But have you got any examples that people can perhaps relate to of actual clients that have used you and have seen that transformation in their life?
Well, some of my clients will come to me because they do want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I've always said to them that it's health over weight. So when they've... I've also got my daughter is a really good example. She's 14 years old, and a couple of years ago, she was overweight. She didn't want to exercise, wasn't interested in healthy eating. And in the last year, she's dropped nearly 2 stone in weight. She's now coming to boot camps with me. She's doing power yoga, and she's learnt to meditate. She's completely transformed her body. She comes home from school, she does 20 minute workout in her bedroom, and because we're both vegetarian and we're vegan at home, vegetarian when we're out, she's her mindset's so much better. She's doing better at school, and she's really she's so much happier with her body. And I said to her, I've taught you things that have taken me years to gain that knowledge, and I'm passing it on to you at this age. So imagine how in your life you can go on to do so many other things because you won't be thinking, your mind space won't be taken up with, I don't like my body, I hate my body, and stuff like that. So it's an amazing thing to see that my children are kind of following in my footsteps.
That's really good. So whether someone wants to simply become healthier, they want to lose a bit of weight, maybe they want to start to do a park run once every other week.
Yes.
Or whether someone wants to, you know, potentially run a marathon or a half marathon, you can help them.
Yeah, I've helped clients who have signed up for a 5K and they've done it for charity, and they want to make sure that they do it. So I've successfully done that, and I love working with beginners because I know how it feels to be a beginner. Yeah. and when you see the transformation of just being able to not be able to run for 10 seconds seconds or 20 seconds, and then being able to run for 1 minute, 2 minutes, you know, it's just amazing to see.
And the more they do, the more they tend to want to do it, don't they?
Yeah. When they see their own progress, they're like, oh my God. I'd say to them, can you remember the first time that I came to see you?
Yeah.
And look how much further you've gone now. And that's such a joy to see.
It does become quite addictive, doesn't it?
I've been doing it for 13 years.
In a good way.
Yeah, if there was anything that I was going to be addicted to, be it fitness, exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, feeling good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the rest of this year and going into 2019?
I'm signing myself up on a Kundalini yoga course. I want to be a certificated teacher in yoga. And I'm going to do a life coaching course as well. I want to make sure that the terminology that I use when I'm... because I already kind of do a bit of life coaching with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to them. I've had counselling and stuff myself, so I kind of get my clients to think for themselves on their feet, not rely on me to give them all the answers, because the answers come from them. We are the best judge of ourselves, so it's great that somebody else can, you know, I like to think that I direct my clients in the right direction, but they have to take accountability for themselves. I want them to be responsible. I want it to come from them. So I'm constantly asking him, so what can you do about this?
Yeah.
How can you change this?
It's about that empowerment, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is empowerment. Mm. Once you start taking back your control, you do feel empowered. You think, oh my God, I didn't think that I could do this. And here I am. And I've taken my life, you know, I'm eating healthily. I'm drinking my water. I'm sleeping better. Everything just goes hand in hand. And then when you start feeling good and looking great, then you're on top of the world.
And so many people don't realise that there is a better version of themselves.
Yeah.
Just waiting to get out. But you just need to find ways to tap into that and to channel it. So
yeah, I'm the me that I've always wanted to be.
Yeah.
And like, even if it took me the whole of my life to discover my own secrets, I would have done it.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I did it. You know, I'm glad of everything that I've been through to get me to where I am today. So that, you know, the knowledge that I've got, then I can pass on. I can send the lift down to others.
Yeah, fantastic. So how can people get in touch with you, Karen, if they want to perhaps go to your website address or?
Yeah, definitely my website.
Okay.
You can go onto my website and then make contact with me there. There's my mobile number on there.
Okay.
And
so
your
website address is
www.happyyouhappybody.co.uk.
Fantastic. So people can go to that website and they can find your links to your mobile contact number and your book as well.
Yeah, you can buy my book online.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really interesting to find out more about your background. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So after the break, we are going to have a quick chat about blood pressure. So before that, we're going to have a classic from the 80s, It's Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams.
Travel the world and the same.
That was Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. Okay, so before we wrap the show up in about 8 or 9 minutes' time, I'd just like to have a quick chat with you about blood pressure. Now, there are three conditions that often go unnoticed in the body until you get the symptoms. And then when you get the symptoms, you tend to be in quite a lot of trouble. The first of these is high cholesterol. The second is high blood glucose. And for those of you that know me or listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll know that type 2 diabetes is one of my specialisms. And the third is high blood pressure. So these three conditions generally don't have symptoms until they have symptoms. And then when you get the symptoms, you're normally in quite a lot of trouble. So prevention is better than cure. Now, in the UK, it's estimated that around 7 million people are living with undiagnosed high blood pressure. So around 4 to 5 million people in the UK have diabetes, of which nearly a million are undiagnosed. But there's 7 million people in the UK with high blood pressure and they don't yet know it. And this will only get picked up either as part of a routine test or when they start getting symptoms. And the symptoms to high blood pressure are quite unpleasant, including things like kidney failure and blindness and all sorts of unpleasantness. So we're going to have a quick chat about what blood pressure is, what high blood pressure is and how we can prevent it, and also how we can deal with it as well. So blood pressure, when you go to your doctors, they will say that your blood pressure is, for example, 120 over 80. Now, most people don't really know what those numbers mean. So essentially, the higher number is when the heart pumps and the lower number is when the heart is relaxed. So if they say 120 over 80, actually 120 over 80 is almost perfect, actually. If they say 160 over 100, then that is symptomatic of high blood pressure. And the problem is when the higher number is too high, it can cause a lot of damage to some of the minor arteries in the body. So, for example, in the kidneys and in the eyes, where those are, you know, those arteries are hair thin. If you can imagine trying to put a high pressure water through a small hose, at some point it's going to burst. And that's the potential damage that high blood pressure can do. So if they give you two numbers, as I say, one's this, the systolic, which is the higher number, and one is the diastolic, which is the lower number. Ideally, the higher number doesn't need to be too high and the lower number doesn't need to be too high either. So some of the things that can cause high blood pressure are things like not doing enough physical activity, being overweight or obese, having too much salt in your diet. Also, things like dehydration. If you don't drink enough water, that can increase blood pressure. If you drink too much alcohol, if you have a family history of high blood pressure, that can be indicative that you may suffer with high blood pressure. So if you have a lifestyle that's quite sedentary, or you are overweight, or you've not got a particularly good diet on a day-to-day basis, then if you haven't had your blood pressure checked in a while, it might be worth having a chat to your GP. And it's estimated, or it's been recommended, that people over 40 should have their blood pressure checked every couple of years anyway as part of a routine health check, which includes things like cholesterol and blood glucose as well. Because high blood pressure can build up over time. And like I say, unless it's picked up on a routine test, then you are just waiting for symptoms to happen. And as I mentioned, symptoms are quite unpleasant. So if your blood pressure is very high, your doctor may consider putting you on to medication. And obviously you can take a decision on that. But things or ways to reduce your blood pressure if it is high are things like increasing your physical activity, losing weight, cutting down on alcohol, reducing the salt that's in your diet, drinking more water, and eating a healthy and balanced diet. So there's ways that you can reduce your blood pressure naturally, not just take medication. So my recommendation, my takeaway, if you like, from this slot is to say that if you haven't had your blood pressure checked for a little while, go and talk to your doctor. They will give you two numbers, challenge them and ask them what those numbers mean. If they need to put your medication, then you may consider actually asking if there's any other options in the short term to actually help you bring your blood pressure down. But do get it checked out. It's very important. Like I say, high cholesterol, high blood glucose and high blood pressure go undetected for a long time in most people. and then they get symptoms, and by the time you get symptoms, you're normally some way down the line, and it becomes more difficult to actually turn it around. So we're going to close the show now. It's 5 to 12. I'd just like to thank Karen again for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you on the show. And just to reiterate, Karen's website address is www.happybody.co.uk. You can make contact with Karen through her website. My website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to make contact with me, drop me an email if you have any health-related questions or diabetes-related questions, and give me a shout. You can find the show on iTunes, so you can listen to this show and previous shows on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, listen to the podcast, search The Health Matters Radio Show. And you can also find previous shows on my website as well if you click on the media page of the iNutrition website. I'd like guests for future shows. If you'd like to come on the show, as Karen has done this morning, and to give people some background into how you got into doing what you're doing and use it as a form of promotion for your business, then please do make contact with me. And as I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to drop me a tweet for any topics you'd like me to cover in future shows, then just go to the Twitter feed, drop me a tweet, and we'll go from there. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. And to play you out, we have a classic from Queen. It's Radio Gaga. So until next time, same time next week, Monday morning, 11 o'clock. Stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I'll catch you on Monday.